So this morning, I want you to take and turn your Bible to Book of Proverbs. And I'm kind of finishing up the service this week with by today, right now. I'm kind of finishing it up, and tonight it will be finished. And so this is kind of a finishing thing. And so I want to preach on what I have called a word to the wise is sufficient. So if you're taking some notes and writing something down, you need to write down a word to the wise is sufficient. If a man's a wise man, you don't have to beat him to death to get him to understand anything. I mean, he can understand it pretty quick. If he's a wise man, all you have to do is just say, "That's it, stop it." If he's a wise man, you know what he does? He takes it to heart just like that. He gets it. He's wise. You don't have to come in and just blam, 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 hammer, kick him, tell him everything upside down and around and around. All you have to do to him is say, "If I was you, brother, I'd never do that again." All you have to do is give him just a couple of wise words, and it goes all the way down into his heart. He takes it to heart. He grabs it and he runs on it. A word to the wise is sufficient. And I believe you're wise. So a word to the wise is sufficient. Now, Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Give instruction." Proverbs chapter 9 verse 9. "Give instruction to a wise man," that's what I've been trying to do, "and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Now, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. Now watch what it says, Proverbs 17:10. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man." That's just reproving him. That's just saying, "Don't do that." That's just saying, "Do it this way." That's just saying, "This is the way it ought to be done." That's a reproof. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes." Oh man, 100 of them? 100 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way to 100. Man laid 100 of them on you. Than what? Now folks, what does it say? Than how many? 100 stripes. So, if you're wise, and you're a wise person, you will take to heart what I said this week. You will take to heart something that is just said to you. But if you're a fool, I'd hammer you and hammer you and hammer you and hammer you and scream and holler and yell. I do that anyway. I just do that. But it just goes in this year and out this year, and you just go, you do your own thing. But I don't think you're a fool. I'm going to trust that you're a wise person and you're going to take all these things to heart. Now, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. This is just my introduction to let you kind of know where I'm going. A word to the wise is sufficient. Proverbs chapter 6, and look at verse 23. Now turn to the verse and read the verse. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." And, now young people get this. "And the reproofs of instruction are the ways of life." You know what life is made up of? It's made up of reproofs, instructions. That's what all life is made up for. This week, somebody went out there and slid down the banister. slid down the slide out here and got hammered. Somebody said, don't slide down it. Don't slide down it. Don't slide down it. That's a reproof. That's a reproof for instruction. What for? You get your face hammered. It's for your safety. Life is full of reproofs. Mom and Daddy is constantly telling you, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Stop it. Quit. Don't do that. Young people, look, all you young people, all you little people, young people, look right at me. Your mom and daddy's been there, and they're constantly telling you no. Why? Because they've made the stupid mistake 3 or 4 times. And they found out you get hammered when you do it. So don't do it. Listen to it. A wise man takes a rebuke. Life is full of them, plumb full of them. The Bible has a whole bunch of them in there. Slugs of reproach. In life it does too. You go out there in Montana and you come to Glacier National Park. And the first thing you're going to see is beware of bears. You know why? Every year somebody gets ate, scratched, mauled, or killed by a bear. Sign says beware of bear. Somebody, everybody seems to just ignore the sign. Beware of bears. They still get hammered. But that sign's there for an absolute reason. Out there in Montana, in Glacier National Park, there's also a sign that says, rocks are slippery when wet. Big old sign right there. All along that creek going up to Glacier National Park. Rocks are slippery when wet. Don't walk on rocks. I go up there and everybody goes right around the sign, right around the sign, goes right down there and stands on the rocks. Just constantly. I say to myself, they don't heed to the warning. That's the way American people are. It says, go up there in Kalispell, it says, don't walk on the grass. I bet you have them around here too. Don't walk on the grass. What do people do? They walk on the grass. Walk across there, walk across there, walk across there. Wait till it's your grass they're walking on. Don't walk on the grass. I think the sign ought to say, don't walk in the grass, stupid. That's the way you ought to put it. Then people get offensive. They say, oh, you're offensive. No. Well, I'll tell you something. There's warnings all over. You get in your car, and you drive down the car, and it says, lane merges right. Right? What's that for? That's for a warning. That's for a warning. And you see those warning signs all the time going down there, and it says, no passing. Come on, folks. No passing. I'm driving down the road, and here's one of these things on the back of it. It's a driver's ed car. You know where you learn how to drive. That's got a sign, driver's ed. And there's 3 of them right in a row. And I drive down there and I says, there's 3 of them right in a row. And they're all learning how to drive. Watch out for these guys. I'm driving up there behind them. And pretty soon, double yellow line comes. Out this guy goes to pass to the other guy. I says, look at that, Louise. He's passing on a double yellow line. And he's a driver's ed. Double yellow line. He's going out there and passing. Jumping, and then a little bit further out, this guy does it again. Out comes the next one. Pass. They're learning how to pass, you know. And passing on a double yellow line. I say to myself, don't pass on double yellow line. No passing. You say, what's that for? That's to save your life. Signs of warning all through life. You know what it's like? We have them constantly. Danger, high voltage. Ever seen one? How many have seen one of those signs? Danger, high voltage. Here I'm a little kid, me and Gary. And Gary and I was out there one day and said, danger, high voltage. We can't read the sign. Gary could, but I couldn't. And we was looking at the sign. I says, Gary, let's climb the fence. And look up over there, and he got a great big old fence around this thing. And I couldn't get it. I said, man, Gary, that's a long ways. Let's not climb it. And we walked around it for a half hour, you know, and playing around it. And then pretty soon we was out there in a field, And Gary found one of these things that closed the screen door, a spring, you know, the spring that closes the screen door. And Gary found that thing, and he says, "Nathan, wonder what happened if I heaved this thing over in there." Grabbed this here spring, and he throws that thing over in there, and that thing goes up in there, and ding, ding, bang, click, a blind, boom, that thing goes off like a bomb, and electricity goes out everywhere. And Gary and I take off running, you know, through that spring over there. Now, I wonder what would have happened of us if we'd have climbed that fence and got over on the inside. Do you know what happened? We would be toast, brother, toast. The warning sign there is for a purpose. And the purpose is you get fried, dummy, if you go over the fence. Don't climb the fence into the power station. It'll fry you. See, the Bible, life is made up of warnings. Time after time after time after time. You ever see this one? Clearing. And it's a railroad passing here. It says, no vehicles under 15 foot 8. I got one in Kalispell. You know what's on it? There's a great big old slice right underneath of it. Within this metal bridge, there's a big old slice going right down the middle of it. You know, some big old trucker comes through there with his boom on it and log boom, and it's just up. It's about 15-12 or 15-8, just a little bit above it. And he's coming down through there, and he's worn down through there. And I think I can make it. 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 Blam, 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 blam. He hammers his truck all over there. What are you doing? You was warned. You was warned, fella. You was warned. This book will warn you. A word to the wise is sufficient. But you better heed to its warnings. You better heed to its warnings. You don't heed to its warnings, you'll have a destroyed life. Now, with that, you ought to pick up and you ought to go home and you ought to write down all the warnings that are in this life, that are out in the world. Write you down a whole list of them. And then alongside that list of warnings, write you down some of the warnings that God can give you from this book. Number one, Proverbs chapter 6. Here's a word. And it's a word to the wise is sufficient. Now take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Here's a great, great warning. Oh, a great warning. You got to get the warning. Proverbs chapter 6. How many of you there say amen? And look at the warning in verse 6. Go to the ant, thy sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. There's a warning. There's a warning out of the 800. I don't know how many verses there are in the Bible. 31,000 something. And over 800 of those are warnings. And right there in Proverbs chapter 6, he said, go to the ant, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. That's a warning verse. Do you know what that verse is designed for? To keep you from having a life of pure disaster. A disastered life is a life that a man did not take the warning, go to the ant, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Nothing worse than a man who is lazy. You can call me ugly, you can call me fat, but don't call me lazy. That's what's wrong with American people. Many of them in this day and age have gotten lazy. He said, go to the anti-sluggard. And if you don't learn to work, one of the best things your daddy can teach you is to teach you how to work. Now, do you hear what I said? Daddy? How many of your daddies here? Raise your hand. How many daddies here? Raise your hand. Okay. Listen to me. Teach your children to work. If that's all you do, you get them saved. Teach them not to be lazy. By example, don't you be lazy. Be a hard worker. Work hard. I mean, don't be a workaholic. You got that too. Everything's got an extreme. You got the workaholic, But he's just working, 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 working. He ain't got time for God. And he doesn't read his Bible, so he's working all the time. And you got the other extreme, the guy that won't work. So don't, you got to get a middle in the level in the thing. So go to the anti-sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Go out there this week before he goes down in a hole and disappears. Go out there and get down on your hands and knees. And get down there and get your magnifying glass if you have to. And watch him for a while. Just go to the anti-sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And watch her. Watch what she does. You know what she does? She'll take and she'll come up in the kitchen. Over here. And you'll put poison down there. All the way around. You know what she does? She finds her way around the poison. There she is again. Right there. You know what she's doing? She's working hard to do what? Because she's got to provide the whole winter. She's providing for it. You know what she do? You ever see her catch something? Ever see her get a grasshopper? An ant and a grasshopper? Here's this little ant. She got this great big old grasshopper up here. You know what she's doing? She's working like mad. Working hard and sweating. And sweating and sweating and working hard. Oh, if I could instill in every one of you not to be lazy. Yes, preacher, thank God I'm not lazy. Okay, how about being spiritually lazy? You're not physically lazy, but how about being spiritually lazy? You know why some Christians have never read from Genesis to Revelation? Partly because it's boring, but I'll tell you, partly because they've never got all the way over to Revelation yet. Partly because they're lazy. Now, you know how a lot of Christians read? They read like this. I got to read my Bible today. Then Job answered the Lord and said, next day, it's and if I will follow the Lord and serve him, well, I'll tell you something, you can get a lot that way. But you ain't going to read every word in that book that way. Because you'll miss a whole lot of stuff reading like that. You'll miss plenty, bud! You'll miss plenty! You won't have read every word in the Bible by reading that kind of way. Stop reading your Bible out of way. Read your Bible and then take your pen and mark where you finished. Mark where you finished. Take your pen and mark it. Say, finished. Read there. Read two. Finished. Read two. Mark it. Keep track of it. So when you come back the next day and you're reading again the next day, open up your Bible and start where you left off. And if you get so many more things in the Word of God that way than you can imagine. You'll be surprised how many Christians I've talked to that read their Bible spismatically like that. Just open it up and read. And I'm reading the Bible. Of course, preacher, I'm reading the Bible. You're soothing your conscience. That's what you're doing. Don't read your Bible like that. Don't be spiritually lazy. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Now, I want to give you another point on this matter. Proverbs chapter 14. Turn to it. Proverbs chapter 14. And look what it says in verse 23. Proverbs 14:23. He said, go to the anti-sluggard and consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says what? In all what? How many of you are in Proverbs? What did I say? Proverbs 14:23. Did I say that? 14:23? Okay, Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit. But the talks of the lips tendeth only to what? Penury. Then the talk of the lips tendeth to what? If you're a salesman, you know what you're liable to be if you're not real careful? A broke salesman. To talk of the lips. There's not a lot of money in the talk of the lips. I realize I do a lot of the talk of the lips, but the Lord's taking care of me. But if you want to make it, what is it? In all what? Labor. Now look at it. In all labor there is profit. You know how you got to do? In all labor. You say, what do you mean? All right, here's your garage out there. And here's the back of the garage. And here's the front of the garage. And it needs repair, and it needs work, and it needs cleaned up, and it needs to get it. Beast and have some work on it, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Go out and clean the thing up at least once a year. I clean my garage once a year. Yep, I do. I go out there and I weld in it and do all this stuff in it and saw in it and make stuff in it, and then I walk off and leave it. I got a lot of other things to do too. And I go out there again and push everything aside and weld in it again, and there it is, another mess, and walk off and leave it. And pretty soon somebody gives me some junk, and I take it in there and I put the junk in there. Pretty soon it gets plumb full. No room for my car, my truck whatsoever. And it's a plumb full of junk. You walk in my garage and you have to go like this to get around. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm using it. 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 I use everything I got. All right. So I go in there and I clean it up, make it look good, and I paint the floor. Paint it. I'll paint the garage floor. It won't stay that way. But I at least cleaned it up. In all labor there is profit. All labor there is profit. Fellow goes out here and works and says, man, I'm not going to get paid for this. No, in all labors there's profit. You may not get paid for it. May not get a dime for it. In all labor there's profit. Go out there, you say, well, my husband's not even going to appreciate this. In all labor there is profit. Don't be lazy. You know, it's like a little boy one time. Little boy, he was learning how to work. And he said, Daddy, I want to go to work. And he said, okay, you're 14 years old. I guess you can go to work, or you got to find your job. And he went and read a newspaper and said, looking for a young boy to do work, delivery work. And he went down to the store. He went down there. And as he got down there, there were 26 guys standing in line in front of him. 26 kids standing in line in front of him. And he said, I am number 26. Number 26, what can I do? So he got out his pencil, got a piece of paper, and wrote on a piece of paper, and run up front, and said, give this to the boss. And guy took it, and little boy run back, and he gave it to the boss. The boss looked at the piece of paper, and it said on that piece of paper, don't do anything till you meet me. I'm number 26 in line. That guy says, wow, man, what an attitude. That boy gets the job. He bypassed every boy on the job and says, I want that boy back there, number 26. The rest of you guys go home. You know why? Because he knew that guy had in mind, I want to work. God is looking for workers. Don't God deserve workers? Come on. Out there in the world, they say, man, you're a good worker. Man, you do a good job. You're a good worker. How about the Lord's work? Doesn't he need some fellas saying, man, you're a good worker? Come on. Doesn't the Lord need some guys to go out there and go like killing snakes for him? They got him out there in the job, boy. If you're going to make money, boy, you'd go at it like killing snakes. Wouldn't you? Then how about doing the Lord's work just like that? When next time you got a job to do around here and you're going to have a work day or something, you're going to come in and take care of, you don't have so much upkeep, but I bet you got some upkeep where you have some time of year where you have a work day and everybody comes in and fixing things and clean things up. That's what I do. I'll just have a work day where everybody kinds and fixes things up again. But I'm always worried, who's going to be here? How many we're going to have? And I got all these jobs going to have taken care of. Do you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, I want to work as hard for the Lord and sweat as hard for the Lord and be there on work day for working for the Lord as I would on my job. There's a work day. And I bet there's a lot of them around here and you ought to go to work for them. I bet that press room, I bet somebody could get over there and do some work over there without running a press too. I mean, go over there and do some jobs. All right, take your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32 and look at verse 23. Turn to Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Here is a word of warning. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. It's a word of warning. Now turn to it. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. And it's a word to the wise is sufficient. Numbers 32 and verse 23 says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And here's a word of warning. And be sure, great verse. And be sure, your sin will what, folks? Now take your pen and underline the next three words. Be sure your sin will what? Find you out. Now what does it mean, be sure your sin will find you out? You know what it is? You know what you and I think? We think, well, I can sin and I can confess my sin and God will forgive me my sin and nobody will ever know. Now, you go out, you sin, confess your sin, and nobody will ever know. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Do you know what will happen? One of these days, you'll sin, and you'll say, nobody will ever know. My wife will never know. My kids will never know. Nobody will never know. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know what it does? It comes up. You're found out. And everybody's going to know about it. It ain't going to stay hid. It's a word to warning. Be sure your sin will find you out. If everybody knew your sin, next time you get in sin, how many of you get in sin? Raise your hand. The rest of you folks are lying. That's what I believe. I believe the rest of you are lying. You didn't raise your hand. I think you're just lying or you're just gutless to raise your hand. Because I believe you get in sin just like me. I think you're just like me. Well, think you're any different than I am, bud. You get in sin? You know what you got to do? You got to say, what if everybody knew? Why? Be sure your sin will find you out. You got to say, what if everybody knows? What if everybody knows? What if everybody knows? If they will find it out. There's something about it. I don't know what it is, brother, but boy, Brincy, you know here it is. He was caught in adultery. There he was. His wife did find out. Turned about, everybody else found out. Be sure your sin finds you out. Great, great verse of warning. Take your Bible and in that line, turn to Psalms chapter 6, verse 1. Psalms chapter 6, verse 1. Here's something every Christian ought to learn to pray. It's something you ought to put in the front of your Bible and learn to pray very often. Good thing to pray. Psalms chapter 6, verse 1. Now turn to the verse. Psalms chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Great thing to play. I mean, it's a great thing. Do you deserve it most of the time? Come on, folks, do you deserve it most of the time? Yeah, most of the time you deserve it. Good thing to pray is saying, Lord, I'm guilty. I deserve it. But Lord, don't give me a whipping this time. Do you know something? I let my kids slide all kinds of times. Because I love them. I let them slide. They do something wrong, I let them slide. I chew them a little bit, but I let them slide. You could probably tell, I probably count how many times I whip my kids on my fingers. I mean, really, actually, absolutely nailed them. Give them a lot of rebukes. But doesn't the Lord do that with you too? Doesn't the Lord let you slide, 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 time after time after time? And he doesn't even hardly give you a whisper about it. Just says, you just have a little bit of a conscience. Well, yeah, Lord, I've sinned, or I forgive me. And the Lord says, yeah, you're forgiven. And you don't get whipped about it. You don't end up in the hospital over it. The Lord even blesses you. Give you a raise in pay. Come on, give you a blessing. He's not nailing your hide. He just give you a little brook. You need to pray, Lord, chasten me not, and I hot displeasure. Oh, Lord, don't whip me this time. I'll tell you something. You know what the Lord will do? He'll not whip you. He'll just let you slide and let you go. You need to pray it. Again, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and pick up verse 1. Here's a rebuke. And it's a life is full of rebukes. And it's a life is made up of reproofs. And here's one of them. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. And what does it say? You with me? Say amen. Amen. Wine is a mockery. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is what? Not wise. Now, how many of you, before you got saved, used to drink? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Quite a few of you. Well, I'll tell you something. Wine is a mockery. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God delivered you from a great hellhole. But don't ever think that you might not slip back in it. I have a guy in my church. He used to get drunk all the time. And one day he got two boys, and his boy had been praying for him to get saved. And they'd come down to the altar and bawl and cry and say, Lord, please daze daddy. And two boys, Ben and Cody. Ben would come down and I'd look over there and Ben would be crying. And I'd go over and put my arm around him and say, Ben, what's the problem? He said, my daddy's lost. I said, okay, pray for him. I'd get him leave. And next couple of Sundays, Cody would be there. And I put my arm around Cody and I said, Cody, what's wrong? He said, my daddy's lost. He's going to hell. And I want God to save him. He just bawled there at the altar. I said, okay, I'll pray with you about him. Go ahead and pray. And I'd go on. And that thing go on. Month after month after month. And here come Charlie. One Sunday, he'd come about once or twice a year. He'd come in, sit down right over there. And I'd preach on hell that Sunday. I said, you're going to go to hell. You're going to burn. Charlie knew I was preaching right to him. He got up, walked out that door, said to his wife, I ain't never going back to that church again in my life. He preaching right at me. Well, I was. He got it right. I was. Walked out the door. Went out there. Went out, took his chainsaw and was cutting a tree down. Cut that tree down, fell into another tree, went up like this. And it landed, it didn't come down. Went over here and cut another tree down, cut another tree down, and cut another tree down. And he walked around here and walked over and stood underneath that tree that hadn't fell. He's standing underneath the tree, and a little wind come up, and down come that tree. That tree come down, hit him right on top of the hard hat, and ground him right down into the snow. Broke his back in four places. They took him, the airplane come in, helicopter come in and flew him up to the hospital. And he's laying there in the hospital. You know something? That old boy got saved 2 days into the hospital. But you know why he got saved? You know why he got saved? Because his boys were praying for him. Praying for him. Now he's been saved a couple years now, perhaps. Not somewhere in there, a couple years. And this week, my wife called me on the telephone and she said, Nathan, you need to pray for Charlie. He went out and got drunk again. Went out and got drunk again, and he was driving drunk, and they caught him drunk driving. And the policeman went to arrest him, and he jerked his hands out of the handcuff, and they thought he was resisting arrest, and they got in a fight with him, and he got in a fight with him, and they beat him up. And they charged him with resisting arrest. This is one of my men in my church that got saved. What happened? A word to the wise is sufficient. Wine is a mockery. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Charlie heard the word of God. He heard that. But he didn't take it to heart. He went back out there and had another one. And now he's all brokenhearted. And he's in jail. And I am going to go see him when I get. I'm going to tell him, Charlie, did God forgive you? He'll say yes. And I says, Charlie, I'm behind you. I'll be praying for you, Lord. Charlie, I hope you get out of this. Charlie, don't you quit God. Charlie, you stay right in there. Don't give up and quit. Keep on going, fighting a good fight. Don't quit, Charlie, don't quit. And you know what the temptation will be? For Charlie to quit church. Because when you lose face, you quit church. I'm going to say to Charlie, take thy burden unto the Lord and leave it there. Take thy burden to the Lord and leave it there. And I'm going to tell you the same thing. Take it to God and leave it to there, or you'll have a word of warning that'll be disastrous for you if you don't. Every eye closed and every head bowed. You know, there's warnings in the Bible to the lost. The lost people have a word of warning. And there's a great one over in the book of Daniel where it says, many, many tickle you, Pharisee, thou weed in the bounce and found wanting. That's a word to the lost man, a word of warning to his soul that he's liable to go to hell if he doesn't repent. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved. I want to give you a word of warning. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this comes the judgment. That's a word of warning to you. You're going to die. You're going to go to God's judgment. You won't get past the judgment of God unless you've been born again, unless you have a substitute for your sin. Now, do you have a substitute for your sin? If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? When did you get saved? Where did you get saved? How about it? How about settling your soul salvation this morning? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you a gospel invitation. Receive Jesus Christ this morning. Will you step out of your seat and come? There's people that will deal with you. Your pastor will deal with you and show you how you can be born again if you'll step out of your seat and come this morning. Let's all stand. Take your hymnal and turn to page
333
in your hymnal.